My dear brethren, it is indeed a great privilege and a joy to be with you. I was here, by the Lord's grace, in the area, that is, a couple of weeks ago to be with the brethren in New Haven, and I returned home very refreshed and encouraged by seeing so many of my dearly beloved brethren there, and I see even more that I didn't have the opportunity of seeing over there. I see you here, and my heart is just overflowing. You have no idea how often I think of you. I do remember so many of you in my prayers. I think of classes that we had the privilege over the years of visiting and fellowshipping with. And you know what happens when you think of classes, you think of brethren, and it just goes on and on. So we have a great longing for you, and it's always such a joy to have the privilege of being with you. The brethren of the Portland Ecclesia send you their special love and greetings. Vernie would have liked to have come with me, but she just couldn't make it this time. Tim and Don said, be sure to take our love. And my mother, many of you don't know her, but a few of you do. She celebrated her 90th birthday last Monday. And she says, take the friends, my love. She's still rejoicing in the truth. And also Henrietta. A few of you know Henrietta Stocker. That's Bernie's sister. She sends special love to you. And the brethren at the retirement center voted that I should bring to you their love. They are rejoicing, and they seem to be very happy. They are in a nice spiritual atmosphere. We have 16 units that are finished, and most of which are occupied or else spoken for. And we're just in the process of completing a tenplex, which is two stories, and that should be finished sometime in December. We have some friends waiting to move into that tenplex. And we are also in the process of building a care center. This is one stage before a nursing home. And according to statistics, that is national statistics, 80% of our residents will be able, when they become ill, to finish their course there. And just 20% would have to probably go to some facility that would be able to take care of their needs that we aren't able to do. But 80% of them would probably be able to finish their course there, or else just perhaps go to a hospital for a short stay before the Lord takes them home. So that would be a wonderful thing for some of them. There'll be room for four or five in that care center. And Sister Bertha Limper, formerly of this area, sends her special love and greetings to you too. I think most of us realize that the Lord's people are traveling down a road that is getting more narrow, a road upon which there are fewer and fewer of the Lord's truly Spirit-begotten ones in the way, a road that is sometimes rather difficult because it is a narrow way, but it is a way that leads to the heavenly courts. Perhaps you have asked yourself the question, it's a question that I ask myself quite often, am I equipped to be able to continue down this narrow way in order to reach that goal that I so greatly desire and am working to attain? This question can take a number of forms. We might be asking ourselves, will I have enough faith for this experience? Will I have enough love to triumph over the resentments and the exasperations that may come during the days that lie ahead or the present time? Will our faith hold out even though the vision seemed to tarry? Will we continue to appreciate the doctrines of present truth? Have we strength for the struggle? These are all very serious considerations that we must make. And there are times that come, I'm sure, to each of us when we realize that as human beings, we are so weak and heavy laden, and at times we are so miserable, and a sense of inadequacy sweeps over us. And so it's not surprising that we should be concerned whether we are going to be able to triumph over some crisis that may strike us during our experiences here on earth. I'm sure by this time most of us have learned that the endurance of trials and difficulties is rather easy to talk about. So easy when we meet together at a meeting and we turn to the page in the volume that talks about trials and difficulties and the roughness of the way. And we all say, yes, we must be faithful, we must endure these things, we must take them in stride, and all of those things. And it's so easy to be able to talk about enduring trials and difficulties when we see these trials and difficulties in someone else. But how different it is when they suddenly affect us. How difficult it is when suddenly they become a reality in our own life. Sometimes it's like a battering tornado that suddenly strikes you. And there you are in your little home. This little home called self, and the wind strikes, and all of a sudden you feel the rafters shaking, and you wonder, am I going to be able to withstand this storm? What happens when the road suddenly becomes steeper and rougher and lonelier than you ever thought it would be? My dear brethren, it is then that our wonderful Heavenly Father sends to us a delivering angel. And we know that this is so because it has happened to every single servant of God that has given his life into the Lord and asked for his direction. Yes, there have been other servants of God who have had severe moments of anguish. The scriptures hold forth their story. There was a day when it happened to that rugged man of God, one of the powers amongst the prophets, the prophet Elijah, the subtle, stubborn, scheming Ahab and Jezebel, and the powers of darkness were most discouraging to him. And finally, he just couldn't stand it. And so we find him going along the way, and he sees this juniper tree, and he throws himself down under that tree, and he says, "Lord, it's enough. I can't stand it anymore." We read those very words in 1 Kings 19:4. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life." Elijah needed help. And so the Heavenly Father sent a delivering angel, and he touched Elijah, and he said, "Arise and eat." We read from 1 Kings 19:8, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." And then there was a day when it also came to another of the great prophets, to the prophet Jeremiah. And as you read the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, you can almost see Jeremiah being so discouraged. You can almost visualize him walking up, so to speak, to the throne of grace, and resigning as a prophet of God. He just felt that he couldn't go on. And then there was the day when it happened to the Apostle Paul. There was that nagging, aching thorn in the flesh, that thorn that was spoiling everything. Oh, how he could serve the brethren better. Oh, how he could go here and there, and oh, how the brethren needed him. And yet here's this thorn in the flesh that's just interfering with his service. So three times, as you know, he went to the throne of grace asking for the Heavenly Father to remove this obstacle. And so it's not surprising that individuals like you and me should feel helpless so often when these sudden, difficult trials and experiences come our way. When we are faced with trials and we just don't seem to understand why some kind of help, some kind of relief is not coming our way. And then as we consider all of this, and we consider the question, we begin to hear certain voices. Sometimes we hear the voice claiming that we possess some kind of strength and power within ourselves. Step into any kind of a bookstore today, and you'll see all sorts of titles on books that talk about this self-motivation. The talk about, I don't know, you know, what to call it. It's a matter of, well, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, is the way they used to say it about 40 years ago. But they've got these slick titles. And you know, they use the psychology, and you go there and you know that you need help, and you feel kind of tempted to buy this one, and this one sounds so good, and you know. But this, my dear brethren, is not the voice that we're looking for. That's not the voice that's going to help us. I bought one of those books once, and I started to read it. And it wasn't very long that I got up, and I went to the wastebasket, and I dropped it in there. I was sorry to lose the $5 that it cost me. But it wasn't worth keeping. If that is a kind of message of faith that the Lord had in mind for us, then the message that the Scriptures give us could not be called good news, because the Stoics, many, many years before the Lord was born, they had that kind of self-help theory in philosophy. But how thankful we are that Christianity, that our Lord and Master in His teachings and God's Word tells us that you can do much better than looking to yourself for strength. It says that you can enlist the Spirit power from the Heavenly Father. And that when we go to the throne of grace, we can enlist His help, for He has promised to help us in every time of need. And so this strength which comes from above is emphasized to us in the Bible by its doctrine of angels. The word angel literally means a messenger, an envoy. It means to us a messenger from God. And how great are these angels? My, oh my, how great. I think we hardly realize how great they are. These are the servants of God. And the Scriptures tell us that they always behold the face of the Father. What a privilege. And they must be able to travel faster than light. And they have the ability to be able to destroy 185,000 enemies of God in just one night. And these angels of God have brought help and comfort from the throne of our Heavenly Father to every servant of God in every age. So to Elijah, there was this angel that came to him under the juniper tree. And so a beaten, broken man, discouraged, desiring to die, was strengthened, and he could go on. Not because of some inner process, not because of some power that was working within him, but because he trusted in God's messenger, and he was able to continue, because he had a real visitation in the world of God. And so too Paul, at the end of that struggle with himself, finally he heard the voice from the world above. And the message was as recorded in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We remember how at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, how he went into the desert place, up into the mount, and there he was tempted by the adversary, but we remember how valiantly he was able to withstand that onslaught. And what happened at the end? We read in Matthew 4:11 that the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And at the end of his ministry, when Peter drew the sword, the words of Jesus were, as recorded in Matthew 26:52-53, Peter, put up again thy sword into his place, for are all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So Jesus knew well the power that was in reserve, waiting to go into action, had it been his desire to request such help. From the very beginning, Jesus had that angelic protection. We know very well that the adversary would have snuffed out his life many, many times had he really the strength to overcome the power of God. But that power that watched over our beloved Master all of his life is the same power that is working on our behalf. And so to ourselves also, in our time of need, in our time of distress and discouragement, when we need so much help, there comes from heaven, through a delivering angel, just the help that we need. Sometimes that help doesn't come as quickly as we would like it to. You remember how, in the case of Daniel, Daniel prayed, and he needed an answer. But the angel was delayed. It wasn't that the Heavenly Father didn't know about Daniel's need, but the messenger that he sent was delayed. And in God's due time, he sends us the delivering angel, and it'll be the very best time for us. And I'm sure that there are some in every congregation of the Lord's people who will vouch that there was some time in their Christian life, in their consecrated Christian life, when they received this miraculous help from the throne of God. In this day, this period of the gospel age, this time of faith, our Heavenly Father no longer sends angels who materialize as they did in Abraham's day. And yet he keeps a constant vigil over us because we are his special treasure. And so, during the age in which we live, that strengthening angel now comes in a different form. However, it is no less real than in those days gone by. So how do those ministering angels come? Well, they come in various ways. Often the strengthening angel is some shining phrase or scripture in the Word of God. When you're really down in the dumps and you really need some comfort, and when nothing else suffices, and you've gone to the throne of heavenly grace on bended knee, and with tears, you've begged the Heavenly Father for His help. What do you do? So often we go to our scriptures and we start looking for something, and sometimes just a phrase. Sometimes it's only a word that pops out at us, and all of a sudden something happens, and we feel that the Lord has heard us. And I think that there are some right here today that would testify that this has happened to them in their life. I'll testify that it has happened by God's grace in my life. Not only once, but many times. And for that, I thank God that it was like receiving a message right from His throne. And I realized that God's hand was in this experience for me. Do you remember, perhaps, in your own life, the day when you were down in the depths because the way was so rough, and you felt that you just didn't want to go on much longer, and you did go to the scriptures, and maybe suddenly Paul's words of encouragement came to you, found in Philippians 4:13, where the apostle's advice was to remember this phrase and say it out loud: I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Or do you remember the time when a sense of unworthiness may have come over you? Because you may have done something that you were totally ashamed of, and that you couldn't believe that you would do such a thing or say such a thing. And you ask the Father's forgiveness. And then, against the night, there appeared like stars the words found in Isaiah, the 44th chapter and the 22nd verse, the Lord's promise and assurance: I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And so what is an experience such as that? I believe it's like the Heavenly Father sending a delivering angel to us. Too often, I think, we're prone to ignore the scriptures, and thus we ignore help which comes from the Heavenly Father. It is God's Word that is the fountain of truth. It is that upon which we base all of our beliefs. And it is the truth that is the link between our world and the heavenly realm. The truth is our listening post, so to speak, for messages from beyond. There was a time in the past in each of our lives, perhaps it was only a year or two, maybe it was 50 years ago, when the God of heaven spoke to us and invited us to follow in the footsteps of his beloved master, of his beloved son, our master. What a blessing that has been to us ever since that time. Oh, we have trials, we have experiences, we have difficulties. But there is more joy and happiness in the narrow way than there is in any other occupation in this world. We came into the truth because of some delivering angel. In the parable mentioned in Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 35th verse, there the Lord says that the reapers are the angels. The reapers are those who send out the truth. And so those who send out the truth are angels. Those angels spread the glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Those angels spread the good news about the true salvation and the ransom, and that the God of heaven will establish a kingdom which shall never pass away. And so ministering these harvest truths, the angels were sent out to reap the wheat. And one here and one there is still being reaped. And so the knowledge of God's plan, which is our inheritance, brings with it a great responsibility which we just simply cannot ignore. By God's grace, we've been given a clear outline of the divine plan, and how thankful we are. And so let us continue as angels, spreading those glad tidings, so that someone else may respond even as we ourselves have responded. When Nathanael was called to follow the Master, the promise was made to him, recorded in John 1:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." How thankful we are that as we have studied God's Word, we've recognized that our Master is truly the ladder upon which communications between heaven and earth have been reestablished. And so our eyes of understanding have been opened, and it is upon this ladder that the angels of divine favor come to us and we receive blessings and comfort and encouragement. They're angels of love and mercy, of forgiveness and adoption and direction and peace and fortitude. And on this same ladder, messages through Christ are sent to the throne of grace. And those ministering angels that watch over us by God's special grace to each one of his consecrated, those angels that watch over us and help us, they behold the face of the Father and they report on our progress. When we meet as the Ecclesia of God, the strengthening angel moves in and out amongst us. As we study God's Word, as we flip through the Bible to find a supporting text here or there, sometimes we come on something that seems quite unrelated to the study at hand. but it may be just what we need. And so there's this delivering angel that circulates amongst us, so to speak, and he goes to one who may have brought to the meeting a frightful personal worry, and the angel says to him, out of the word, cast your burden upon the Lord. And the angel moves to some other child of God who may be facing in the coming week a great and difficult task, maybe going to the hospital. And he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He now moves on to still another who may be losing his faith. And the angel prays, Lord, open his eyes that he may see, and a miracle takes place. Sometimes the delivering angel is a fellow creature, another brother or sister. And there, you remember during the Lord's day, his closing hours, there were few there who understood the Lord completely. There were few who understood what he was going through. But somehow Mary of Bethany was one that somehow understood. The Master's mind was filled with all sorts of thoughts. He knew he would be crucified soon. And so when Mary came to anoint his feet and to wipe them with the tears that she had shed, this to the Lord was such a great encouragement that it strengthened him, and it made him feel that the Heavenly Father was just so much nearer. And I think that we too in our life have experienced times when some brother or sister has given us some encouragement. And we've realized that this truly was a tremendous help to us, and we've said, perhaps you've said it, you've been an angel to me. And so we do have that privilege, my dear brethren, of serving as angels, of encouraging each other, of helping each other when we so badly need it. Let us look for these angels in these various ways, these messages from the throne of grace, so that we may continue to put our complete trust in the Heavenly Father, so that we may serve Him better, so that we may be an honor and a glory to His name, and so that we may be victorious over all those difficult trials and experiences that will come our way. The adversary is still trying to snuff out the promised seed. He will be after us till we draw our last breath. But God is with us. God is for us. He will continue to give us the grace and the strength in every time of need. And we need not fear what man can do unto us, because our Heavenly Father is for us and will keep us faithful even unto death, so long as we continue to put our entire trust in Him. May God help us to put our trust in Him. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Ray, for articulating to us and for making more real and vital to us this ministry of the delivering angel. I'm sure that each and every one of us each day must call upon the grace of the Lord, and how that grace is so abundantly provided through such means as delivering angels. And may we now sing hymn number 303, after which Brother Ray will conclude us with prayer, and an intermission of 30 minutes will be held.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we as thy children come to thee once again to thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank you, Father, especially for the sacrifice of Jesus and for all the precious promises of thy word. We thank you that thy grace has been sufficient in our times of need, and we know that in the days that lie ahead that this will also be true.